Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, we are so glad you're here. You're listening. And if you're new, welcome to Leading Edge Medicine. I have the founder and chief medical officer of Longevity Medical Clinic here with us today, Dr. Jerry Mixon, and the assistant medical director, Dr. Samara Umat. Both are here to take your calls, Frick and Frack. Which one is Frick?
You're Frick, whatever.
It's okay, but we got you.
We're both here.
Yeah, we do it as tall and short.
I'm not short.
Well, compared to me, you are.
Life is relative, yes.
That's 6'4".
But I've never thought of myself as short.
The bottom line is, this is live call-in radio focused on you and your health. In fact, we almost called the show You and Your Health. But
we did.
We decided Leading Edge Medicine was a smarter idea because medicine in general, traditional orthodox medicine, can be 10, 15, one study shows 17 years behind the science.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to just call it medicine show. We want to call it Leading Edge Medicine. So it's a good name. If you have a question for either of these excellent doctors, call us right now. All the lines are open. The toll-free number is 1-888-312-5757. That's 1-888-312-5757. And pretty much anything goes. You can call about your own health, maybe the health of your spouse, your mate, your parents. It doesn't matter who. If you need a second opinion or a first, call us right away at 1-888-312-5757. But like we did during the last 2 hours, and by the way, we are on live radio 4 hours every Saturday, 2 hours on another station, 8 to 10, and then these 2 hours, 10 to noon, right here on 570 KVI. But we started off at 8 o'clock, and rightly so, with sort of a, why don't you just explain, Jerry and Samara, both of you, if you'd like, what's going on? Because it seems like there's a whole lot of talk about an increase in COVID cases, mm-hmm. and people are concerned again. What's cooking?
Well, there is an increase, but it is not like our initial mm-hmm. increase. You know, initially, the infection was primarily in the elderly, and it was killing a lot of them. Our first big outbreak here was in the nursing home.
Right here in Kirkland.
You know?
And in the early outbreak, the average age of people getting COVID-19 was in the 60s. And so we had a lot of people in the hospital, a lot of people very sick. To put that in perspective, 0.6%, 0.6%, that is 6 people in 1,000 live in nursing homes. But 6 people in 1,000 accounted for 40% of our deaths.
Mm.
So that tiny percentage of people living in nursing homes is where almost half the deaths occurred. People over 85 that were not in the nursing home but were living at home were the next biggest group of death. And young people were pretty rare.
That's right. You know? Mm-hmm.
This latest outbreak is different. The very, very susceptible have already gotten it and died or recovered. I mean, it's just happened. now what's happening is young people are tired of sitting around and they're going out to the bars. And they are not socially distancing. In fact, they are hugging and kissing and dancing. And, you know, you had a bunch of teenagers and 20-somethings that have not been near a member of the opposite sex for 3 months. And all of a sudden, the bars are open. And the dating apps are going crazy. And everybody's running out and they're singing, they're dancing, and they're meeting people. And you go out to any beach area right now on these warm days, you will see crowds and crowds and crowds of people, and nobody's wearing a mask and everybody is close. And you're seeing groups of 5, 10, 20, 30 kids all together. And so the average age of this current sweep of infections is about 30. We're getting people in their teens and 20s, and the upper limit is up in the upper 30s. But most of them, they're averaging late 20s to early 30s. Mm-hmm.
But not many of them are dying.
No, not dying. Most of them are not even going to the hospital. If you look at I look at the hospitalization rate,
yes,
for COVID-19 in Washington State every day. I look at it over my breakfast each morning. I call up the Washington State Health Department and I look at the graphic to see where our hospitalization from COVID-19, and they break it down by age and race. So you see how many people of each racial group, you see how many people under 20, how many 20 to 30, how many 30 to 40.
Why did they break it down by race?
Well, because Black Americans, people of African ancestry, are at higher risk. Okay. What they ought to do is break it down by weight, because it's the highest incidence of obesity in America is among African Americans. And that's what puts them at higher risk for diabetes and heart disease and strokes and dementia and COVID. It's weight related. But they don't break it down by weight. They break it down by race. Okay.
Well, that seems...
Well, but, you know, you can look that up. If you look up, type in your Google search or whatever, put in images, and then weight by race in the United States. And it'll give you a map of America. And it'll show you what percentage of people have BMIs below 30, 30 to 35, over 35, in each state. And it'll break it down by race. It'll show you by African-American ancestry, Asian, Hispanic, and Caucasian.
Okay.
And consistently throughout the United States, African-American is the heaviest group. Hispanic is the second heaviest group. Caucasians are the third heaviest group. And Asians are the skinniest people in America. That's just, you know, that's just what the numbers show.
Okay.
So it's not racism. It is statistics. So yeah, we're stuck with it.
Even facts can be dangerous.
I know. These days, how dare you speak something that is true if it's not politically correct. But that's why African Americans are at higher risk of COVID. Because African Americans, due to a combination of culture, diet, and genetics, tend to be heavier. And heavy means diabetic. And diabetic means heart disease and stroke and kidney failure. And that all means high-risk COVID.
Okay.
So that's that's where that is. At any rate, the numbers for the young people now, and I actually pulled this up, so hang on a second. Let me go back and find this.
It's the weather has improved as well. You know, people are out on the beaches.
Oh, absolutely.
And the bars opened up. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Overall, what we now know about COVID, looking at all ages from kids to 100-year-olds, 0.26% of the population, if they get infected, will die. That is one person in 400. Okay. So if you get infected in the United States with COVID, you got one chance in 400 to die. But now let's break it down by age, right? If you are under 50, if you're 49 and below, you have one chance in 10,000 of dying. So these young people that are getting, you know, they're all going out and they're singing, they're dancing, they're going to the beaches, they're going to the bars, they are COVID positive. But each of those kids that are COVID positive have one chance in 10,000 of dying. That's pretty low risk.
Yeah.
You know, they're probably an equal risk on their skateboard or their bicycle. You know, now, if you're over 50, let's say, in fact, let's say you get up to 80. If you're in your 80s, you have one chance in 14 of dying. And if you get COVID and you're over 90, you have one chance in 6 of dying. So, you know, the numbers are pretty good. This latest big outbreak, especially in Texas and Florida and Arizona, is primarily young people. And each of those young people has one chance in 10,000 that it's going to kill them. That's not terribly worrisome to me. And hospitalizations are not generally going up most places. They aren't here in Washington State. As of this morning, the number of our hospital beds in Washington State that are filled by COVID patients is 2.5%.
Of the beds.
Of the beds. So, you know, if you look at 100 hospital beds in Washington State, 2.5 will be a COVID patient.
Yeah.
All right. So at least in this state, we're in trouble. Now, Texas is getting more of a flare, but they're a long way from being in trouble. But it is a big boost just because so many young people are infected there. And a small percentage of young people will get sick. Remember, we talked about one chance in 10,000 of dying.
That's right.
But dying is the ultimate
yes.
complication.
Yes.
You might get sick and go to the hospital and be nowhere near ready to die.
Sure, sure. Right. And then the other topic is the chronic illnesses that may come from that.
And the other big topic is Junior is out. He goes to the bar.
Yes.
He meets a very sweet COVID-positive girl. They spend an evening hugging and kissing and dancing. He goes home, now COVID positive himself. He feels fine, but he hugs his grandma.
That's right.
And grandma ends up in the hospital.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So that's our risk. It's not the young people that are infected. It's the problem that they're going to bring to their elders.
Yep.
Wow. Well, I appreciate the update because it just seemed like you turned a corner about 2 days ago, and all of a sudden, yikes, everyone was up in arms again.
Yeah.
But you notice that Florida and Texas, they are not shutting down the economy. They're just shutting the bars.
Right.
They're telling the kids, sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah,
don't
right,
congregate.
Right. And then earlier, Jerry, you mentioned very appropriately with the July 4th weekend coming up, please be careful, guys.
Yeah.
So what are the guidelines for Washington State now?
Well, kind of interesting. Our governor has mandated masks in public, and it says if you're not able to socially distance. Well, you know, if I'm downtown Bellevue in the middle of a July 4th afternoon, I probably am going to need my mask.
Yep.
You know, if I go out and I'm, you know, running down the Cross Kirkland corridor, I'm not within 20 feet of another human being, and the other human being is also running, and we pass each other, you know. So what? I'm not about to wear a mask for that. If the governor doesn't like it, to hell with him. So we'll see.
Okay. Well, all right. We will keep watching this. We definitely will. And with that, we need to go to a break. And when we come back, we will start taking calls. But we only have Al from Seattle. He has a question about the virus.
Okay.
We have three other lines that are available. If you would like to give us a call, you can do that right now at 1-888-312-5757. That's 1-888-312-5757. Don't go far. We'll be back before you know it.
I think it's a wonderful thing. It teaches at the seminar and not reacting after the problems. It's trying to prevent the problems from happening in the first place. And the thing I like the most about everything that I've learned is it all makes very logical and intuitive sense.
For the second time today, Pete is speechless.
Yes. Well, I wish you could be here with me as these two dance. They stand for most of the 4 hours. I sit because I have things to do. And
keep saying, I'm going to get you a standing desk so you can raise that computer up high enough.
Well, all Why not? Of, all of our staff, the executives, all have standing desks.
I don't.
I want one, too.
Well, most do.
I don't have standing desk.
Anyway, well, that but, was your choice.
See?
But I've got, I got dumbbells on my windowsill. I have room to do my push-ups. I can do my curls and my overhead lifts. And I don't need a standing desk. Every time
That's
I get
right.
brain fog, I just stand up and exercise.
That's right.
Yeah.
And speaking of brain fog, one of our questions coming up from Rod in Seattle. He's not first, but it's coming up. He wants to know about lowering your chance of getting dementia. We talked about that an hour or so ago on the previous show. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about it again, apparently.
Yeah, we'll give him some direct.
Talk to Rod. But I just want to mention, during the break that we just went through, you heard about Northwest Vision Institute and Dr. Michael Gilbert. He is going to be here for 5 or 10 minutes at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
So if you have questions about your eyes, anything associated with your eyes, cataracts, anything, you're going to want to call us a little bit later in the show. It's about 22 minutes after 10 right now. He will be here at 11. Dr. Michael Gilbert with Northwest Vision Institute. Now, let us go to Seattle and talk to Al. Hello, Al. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Al.
Hello.
How can we help, sir?
Yes, I ran across this company that may be a game changer for Corona.
Oh.
And they produce equipment that generates an ionized hydrogen peroxide gas. And apparently it's supposed to penetrate even the walls, kill viruses, kill mold, bacteria, everything.
Okay.
So my question to you is, if this was applied indoors, like in a bar setting or in a restaurant, would this hydrogen peroxide gas actually penetrate into the body and kill the coronavirus within the body?
I don't know. My concern would be what the pathology involved in breathing hydrogen peroxide
exactly.
gas.
I don't want to be there.
I'm not sure.
According to their research, it's such a low level that they've done some studies on it already.
What I want to do is see the studies.
It apparently works.
Yeah, what I want to do is see the studies.
If you want to research, it's called Extreme Microbial Technologies back in Ohio.
Okay. Well, I'll look
website,
in.
And in fact, on the website, on the About Us option, there's an actual press release video.
Okay.
This press release video shows a doctor's office where they have the equipment in there, and the doctor speaks about what it's done for him.
Okay. My concern is obviously they have something to sell. They have a profit motive. They may be absolutely above board, but I never know that. And I'm always most interested in studies run by people that are independent and don't have a financial stake in the company, obviously. But, yeah, we can take a look and see. So, you know, disinfecting environments is one thing, disinfecting people is another. But we got to wait and see what the studies show. And, you know, what you really need is a peer-reviewed study in which they expose it to the animals. You start it with rodents first, and then you do the dogs and the monkeys, and then finally you try it on people. And, if you find out it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And until you do the study, you don't really know. But we always start it on other animals first. People are the least disposable. You know, they kind of get a little miffy if you try your device and 16% of the people topple over and die. Interesting concept. Be fascinating to see what the results are.
Thanks, Al. Are you there? I guess not.
Okay.
Okay. There you go. All right. You just made a comment, and it hit me. There may be a question mark. You just said you need to do a peer-reviewed study. We understand what medical studies are. What does peer-reviewed mean?
Okay. Peer-review means you send your data to the medical journal. The medical journal then sends it out to other physicians that have recognized expertise in the field. And they look at the study, and the first question is, does it pass the smell test? Okay. There's, are your claims in accord with what other people have found? Or is it so cutting edge nobody else has tried it? Then they look at the study you did. And they look at how the study is designed. And they look for holes and problems and perhaps things you didn't think about. And different ways to analyze the data. And then they are supposed to reanalyze your data and see if they come up with the same answers you do. Then the final step is, can we reasonably draw the conclusions from this that they drew from the data?
Yeah.
And if so, and if it is of interest to a large enough audience, then the journal will decide to publish it because it has been reviewed by your peers.
Got it.
I.e. peer-reviewed study.
Good. Well, it hit me after all these years of mentioning that term. There may be some that didn't really know all those details. So that's good. Thank you, sir. All right. That opens. Thank you, by the way, Al, for that call. Good stuff. Interesting stuff, at least. So that opens up a line. We've got two lines open. Call us with your questions at 1-888-312-5757. You call now. You'll be right after Rod here. Let's go to Rod right now in Seattle. Welcome.
Hello, Rod.
Hi. What I want to know is what things are correlated with much lower risk of dementia. I'm 65. My mom got dementia probably in her late 70s. From what I read, the higher education and aerobic fitness correlates with less risk, but I don't know. What do you know about it?
Well, first thing we do is we look at your genome. We look at your APOEpsilon studies. There are three types of APOEpsilon in human beings. 2 APOEpsilon 2, APOEpsilon 3, APOEpsilon 4. Everybody gets 2 epsilon genes, one from their mother, one from their father. So you can be a 2-2, 2-3, 3-3, 3-4, 2-4. If you are a 2-2, you have an increased incidence of diabetes, but not of dementia. If you are a 3-3, you have an average risk of dementia. And if you have a 4, you have increased risk of Alzheimer's disease. And if you are a 4-4, if you have 2 4s, one from each parent, you have a 50-50 chance of being demented by age 60.
Whoa.
Okay. So we start by looking at your genome, and that tells us what your statistical average risk and probabilities are. Now, we can take a person that is a 4-4, the highest genetic risk for dementia. They've got a 50% chance. If we can alter their diet, their lifestyle, their weight, if we put them on decent supplementation, so we can reduce their risk by 80%. And that doesn't take them to zero, but that takes them from 50% to 10%. And I'd rather have a 10% risk of Alzheimer's than a 50% risk of Alzheimer's.
And this may be one of the most life-changing, biggest set of facts you'll ever hear on the show, because most Americans think they don't want to be tested. They don't want to know because, hey, they have the idea, if I'm going to get it, there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah, but there are things you can do.
That's not true.
That's right. We're limited in what we can do about it once you get it, but we can prevent it most of the time. So, you know, Alzheimer's disease is, by and large, a lifestyle disease. It has a big genetic influence, but your genome is not destiny. Mm-hmm. It's propensity. Mm-hmm. It says what you are at risk of. And lifestyle has a big, big impact on whether or not that gene will actually be expressed in the real world.
Now, my mom had Alzheimer's. My dad died with dementia. My grandmother with dementia. My uncle, my aunt, everywhere.
And you are in your 70s with no sign of it.
And with no sign of it. But thanks to you, I got tested, and I'm a 3-3. Mm-hmm. So I'm right smack kind of in the middle of propensity.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's right.
But because of... Well, I'm looking at you now, Dr. Umat, because technically you now are my official doctor here. I'm doing things mm-hmm. to lower that.
That's right.
To lower that risk.
Yeah.
But he's asking about what correlates.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're more interested in causation than correlation.
Well, and also to quote, Dr. Dale Bredesen, who wrote extensively about this, he's a neurologist. He really describes it nicely. I like that correlation. People get that. It's like dementia is like a tin roof with 30 different holes in it. And what you do is you try to plug all the holes. So you find the deficits and you try to reduce the risk from each of those deficits. So there's not just one.
What are you doing over there that's making all that
Ron,
noise?
Ron, you're making some terrible noise on your phone if you can.
Yeah, please quit throwing it back and forth with the kids, would you?
Thank you.
If you have increased levels of heavy metals, heavy metal toxicity raises your risk.
It's simple things. Homocysteine level, inflammation markers.
Yes. Organophosphate pesticides raise your risk.
Yeah.
Your weight, mm-hmm. percentage of body fat is a big factor in your risk.
Sugar levels, visceral fat.
Insulin resistance. Yeah. So if you have nice low insulin and low sugars, you're at very low risk. If your sugars are in the top third of normal, you nearly double your risk.
That's right.
Okay. So here's the bottom line, also why we get excited about the free health analysis appointments is because we do a blood test, the A1C, we do the in-body, the special in-body testing, and there are indications from those two tests, speaking of Rod's question about dementia, what other benefits of those two tests can people learn? What can we learn from those two free tests besides dementia?
Okay, but that is part of it, obviously. We're looking for the degree of risk of dementia, strokes, heart disease, diabetes, degenerative joint disease.
Cancers.
So these two will give us a rough idea of how much risk you are for in these degenerative, disabling, or fatal conditions. Now, it's not enough testing to diagnose any particular disease.
Right.
Except maybe diabetes.
Yeah.
If your A1C is over 6.5, you're presumptively a diabetic. But for everything else, it tells us a degree of risk. And then based on your degree of risk, you can decide to get further testing or not.
Yeah, maybe you want to become a patient at Longevity, and we can do whatever we need to do. But the bottom line is, back, Jerry, to you, I'm sorry, it almost gets super repetitive, but if you don't measure, you don't know.
Absolutely.
So let us do the measuring for you to at least find those basic health risks so you then can make an intelligent decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what we do with the free health analysis appointment. And, yes, Rod, thank you for your call. That generally, people want to know this. They need to know this, that you can lower your risk of getting Alzheimer's by 80%.
Yeah, in the traditional medical package, you will not get a diagnosis until you really have severe dementia, because the way to measure it is with the testing mini-mental status exam, and that measures it when you can't tell the date, and, can't tell your age. But by then, there's nothing anybody can do about it.
Yep.
But the symptoms and the telltale signs of the disease have been present for decades before that, and what he's doing is the right thing. He's saying, look, I know my mom died from it. Can you tell me what to do at 65 so that I don't go down that road?
And there's a lot we can do.
And the answer is there is a lot that can be done.
But he needs to come work with us and let the doctors help him solve his problems.
So the bottom line with the free health analysis appointments, in fact, let me just show the email here from Bia. I always talk about her because she fills me in late in the week. Yesterday, she tells me that we have three clinics, Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood. In Kirkland, we have 11 of the free health analysis appointments that are available through July 24th. So in other words, in the next month, mainly near the end of July. 15 free health analysis appointments in Tacoma, and 14 available in Linwood through July 17th. So bottom line is, these are all we can do. They're available on a first-come, first-served basis. So there's no sense in delaying. If you know you're going to, you want to measure, you let us do it for you for free. You simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, and make your own appointment. We also give you $100 of free longevity supplements. So it's kind of a super, super no-brainer for those of you who have decided, okay, I'm not going to procrastinate any longer. Prevention makes all the sense in the world. Make your own appointment. Go to lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. Push on the health analysis schedule button and do it. Takes you like 3 minutes. Super easy to do. LMClinic.com. We'll go to a break right now. When we come back, we'll talk with John from Gig Harbor. He's got another question about the virus. We're having more questions about the virus this week because of the uptick in cases. That is understandable. But you can call about anything. You can call about the virus like John has done. We'll take him when we come back. But after John, anything you want to ask, call us at 1-888-312-5757. We got three lines open right now. You can be right after John. 1-888-312-5757.
I've been a patient for about a year and a half. I'm impressed with the program, and I've gained a lot of benefits from it. I owe a lot to the longevity program. It's been great.
Everybody's going out and having fun. I'm just a fool for staying home and having none.
Not in the COVID room, you're not. Stay home.
Oh, lonesome me.
Roger Miller, quite a guy. Yep. All right, let's take some calls, shall we? We've got John and then Margie. Margie has a question about blood test results and diabetes. Johnny from Marysville wants to talk about masks and breathing problems. Mm-hmm. But first, let us go to Gig Harbor and talk with John. Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Hello, John.
Hello there. I'm an anesthesiologist who's had a lot of time to study the COVID issue. And I think the racial issue, I think, is more related to vitamin D levels being lower in people with more pigmented skin, particularly in northern latitudes where the sun exposure is even less. So
that is certainly a factor, yes.
I think it's more of a factor than obesity, although both probably play a role. The other comment I have related to treating the environment. There's a guy named David Brainerd back in 2017 put on a TED Talk because of his concern over a good friend of his dying from MRSA. And he came up with a new way to treat the environment, and that's using far UVC light, which won't penetrate the human skin or even the tear covering of the eye and results in killing all viruses and bacteria in the atmosphere and on surfaces. They've done a lot of the animal studies already, and I expect that we're going to be seeing far UVC light being used to treat public environments.
I wouldn't be shocked. You know, it's important that I'm convinced that the UV light is a critical component, that is why places like Thailand and Malaysia have very, very low incidence of COVID, because they're poor countries. They don't have air conditioning in most places. And so people are outside because the houses get so beastly hot in that tropical condition. And the UV light from close to the tropics, it wipes out the virus in the environment. Mm. And, you know, Thailand's only had like 14 deaths in the whole country.
My goodness.
So, you know, on the other hand, Singapore, where there's lots of UV light, but people, it's a prosperous, rich country. People are inside in air-conditioned environments, and they get COVID. Mm. So, the closer you get to the equator, the more UV light you're getting. And if you're poor enough that you're living outdoors mostly, you're pretty well protected. If you're affluent enough to go inside with air conditioning, you're in trouble. And this is part of why Arizona, which is 100 degrees right now, everybody's inside in the air conditioning, and they're getting a big surge. Mm-hmm. So you know, I agree that UV light is a big thing, and the extreme, the far UVC, that's a whole different issue. That's an artificial one that we would produce clearly in our public spaces, not something that just naturally happens to us outside all the time. We get UV yeah. in the full spectrum. So, yeah. Right. Are you driving?
They sterilize non-occupied areas with the 254 nanometer wavelength, but this would be the 222 nanometer wavelength. So they're in the process of trying to get FDA approval. There's several companies involved.
Well, that would be interesting. Have you bought some stock?
I might have to admit I have bought a little stock in one company.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. You know, you see a good idea, you invest in it. That's, you know, that's called capitalism, and I am not a socialist. I approve of profit.
Sounds good. John, we appreciate the call.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Yeah, let's sneak in another one here. Let's go to Renton and talk to Margie. Hello, Margie.
Hi. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I had a blood panel done this year, a few months ago, and it's the hemoglobin ALC score mm-hmm. came out marked high, put me in the pre-diabetic range, which I've never been in before. And, of course, no one seemed concerned about it except me.
What was that? What was your number?
Do you remember your number?
5.8.
Okay.
So slightly into the pre-diabetic, but I've heard you say, you know, we don't want to be there.
And no, we
don't.
I don't
want to be there. I don't want to be on my way to somewhere I don't want to go.
Yes.
So I wondered what does berberine help to bring that back down, or what can I do to bring that down again?
Well, berberine may well bring that down. Berberine is almost as effective as metformin. So when it comes, so yes, 500 to 1,000 milligrams of berberine twice a day or so.
Say that will, again, 500 to 1,000?
500 to 1,000 okay. milligrams of berberine. Okay, twice a day, morning and evening.
Okay.
How many in our berberine pill? What's the?
I forget if it's 500 or 600.
Yeah, I think it's 5. It's 500, I think.
So, okay, mm-hmm. you've got okay. me taking two of those.
I do.
Day,
yeah.
So.
Sure.
Yeah, and that lowers average blood sugars pretty efficiently. Now, obviously, the things you want to do, because you sound like a lady of, shall we, some mature years.
Some mature years. Thank you.
Yeah. I like that.
I've done my studies along the way here.
Yes. Well, you know, nothing wrong with maturity. I'm just not getting old. There's a difference.
Right.
Berberine helps staying lean, helps physical activity, helps.
Good.
You know, so the more physical activity you can do, and walking, the longer, further, faster you walk, the better off you are.
Build muscle mass.
That's right. Yeah. Muscle burns sugar even when you're sleeping. Okay. Uh-huh. Muscle is a very energy intensive tissue. And just by existing, it's burning sugar.
Wow.
So the stronger you get, and that means, you know, walk the steepest hills you can manage. Walk as far and as fast as you can comfortably do.
Okay.
Obviously, once you reach a certain age, we aren't trying to throw you into a heart attack or a stroke. So
right.
you do what you can comfortably do.
Okay.
But if you do it consistently, you'll find that what you can comfortably do will increase.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
and the reason it increases is you're getting stronger. And the reason you're getting stronger is you're making more muscle.
Yeah.
And that's burning sugar. All right?
Okay.
So, you know, obviously watch your diet. You don't want any extra fat on your belly if you can help it. Okay, the leaner you can be, the better off you are.
I've got a little excess fat. I don't know
All right.
I don't like doing sit-ups. What else can I do to get off
sit-ups are not very good at getting your midriff. All they do is add muscle under the fat. So what you really want to do is eat less.
Yeah.
Give up snacks.
I don't. Actually, I've lost 6 or 7 pounds just from eating less this summer. This spring.
Good, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks
and
to
that's the
virus.
That's right. The goal is you get up from each meal, saying, I could eat more, but I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Never eat till you're stuffed.
Okay.
And then don't eat again till the next meal.
Yeah. Calorie deficit.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, because in the final analysis, it's you know, calories in versus calories out. Everything else is window dressing.
Yeah. So. And, you know, be neat. Remember, I don't know if you were listening. I talked about being neat. It's a neat word for non-exercise activity thermogenesis. All it means is just be active.
Yeah. Keep moving.
Just be active. Keep moving.
Keep moving, Margie.
Yeah, keep moving. I really do that. Okay. But in terms of eating a little bit, you know, a little bit of honey and sweet. I don't eat a lot of sugar anymore, but a little bit, does that actually add to the count, the diabetic count? Is that really making a difference? Or is activity more important?
Activity is more important. You know, a teaspoon of sugar is only 25 calories. There's 3,600 calories in a pound of fat. So 25 calories out of 3,600 is not a whole big addition. Okay?
And with that, Margie, I'm afraid we've got to go. We've got a break, but we won't be gone long. That opens up a line. You can call right now at 1-888-312-5757. We've got an hour and 10 minutes to go, so get in line, and we will be back before you know it. Call us at 1-888-312-5757. When we come back, it's Johnny from Marysville, then Mary from Seattle, and Gary from Bremerton.
I finally went and took that free test, and it didn't hurt. I went ahead and moved forward with genetic testing and inflammatory markers and stuff like that, so I'm encouraged to see what those results are. So how would this work for my father at 80 years old?
If your father will dance to this music, he's doing fine.
You know, we get that question a lot. First of all, the guy said he went and had his free health analysis appointment.
Yes.
And he enjoyed it. He learned some things.
It didn't hurt, he said.
Oh, that's right. It didn't hurt. No, I don't know anybody complains that it hurts, other than sometimes the information you learn is...
Might bruise your ego?
Yeah, it might be concerning, but that's the whole idea, is get the information. Because, again, I almost feel awkward saying it because we say it so often, if you don't measure, you don't know. And so let us do that for you.
And it's the things you don't know that'll kill you by surprise.
Mm. How true. How true. Anyway, he's just basically saying that it was a smart thing for him to do. So we're glad he did it. You can do that too. And again, I've already given you the details. There's some of the free health analysis appointments. I think 13, 14, and 15, something like that, about that in each of our three clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, and Kirkland. So to make your free appointment and also get the $100 of free longevity supplements, simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com. Make that appointment. Smart, smart, smart thing to do. Marysville is where we're headed next. And Johnny. Hey, Johnny, welcome.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to know what options are available in terms of masks for people that have breathing problems, you know, like asthma or COPD.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I guess that depends in part on how well controlled your asthma is. The masks range from the most restrictive. That's the N95 or KN95. That's the one we give to our patients. That one filters 95% of the microparticles out of the air. The downside of that mask is while it is the best filtration mask you're going to get, it does restrict airflow. So if you're wearing that mask, even with healthy heart and lungs, you cannot exercise. I mean, the airflow restriction is significant, yep. And it's designed to just be used sitting, standing, walking slowly through a store. And I got to tell you, if I wear mine and I spend, you know, 15, 20 minutes in the grocery store, I'm really grateful to get outside and take the damn thing off.
Sure. Oh, sure. And try wearing that with glasses for whatever reason, either to read the label or to look at a screen, you know, they fog up immediately.
Yeah.
You know, that was my next question. My wife was asking me to ask about that. She doesn't have breathing problems, but when she has a mask on, her glasses fog up.
Yeah, actually, do you have an answer?
Well, there's a couple of answers.
Okay, go ahead.
One is soap on the glasses.
Okay.
You can take a little bit of dishwashing detergent, dilute water in a few drops, and rinse that across the glass.
Okay.
And that helps prevent it from fogging.
Okay.
Or you can put a little tape across the top of the mask.
Okay.
I know lots and lots of surgeons that have to spend hours and hours, and they're of an age they are wearing glasses.
Okay.
And they just put some tape across the top of the mask under the eye, and that forces the air to go down instead of up.
Okay. So similar to that with the tape issue, if you take a Kleenex, a regular Kleenex, and put it under the mask right at the nose bridge and go across the eyes, underneath, that would work as well.
Yeah, because it forms a little, what would you call it? It's not a lever, but a...
It would absorb whatever,
I'm a scuba diver, and I use spit.
Spit works, too.
Spit into my mask.
Just make sure it's your own spit, and you keep it to yourself, please. Nobody wants it.
That's right. But while wearing a mask, spitting on your glasses is tough. So, below the N95, there are the plain surgical masks.
Yeah.
Those, almost flat with folds. So they're usually green or blue.
Yeah.
And those are very inexpensive. They don't do nearly as good a job of filtering, but they're fine. You know, they decrease particle filtration probably 50% instead of 95%.
It's a barrier.
Yeah, it's a barrier. And then, of course, below that, you can put in any fabric. I see a lot of people these days using these neck gaiters, it's just a round thing that goes around your neck when you ski.
Yes.
And they pull it up over their face below their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those are very, very thin and fashionable.
Yes.
And they don't stop much airflow. They also don't stop any germs.
Yep.
But what they do is they stop particles.
Yeah.
If you cough or someone around you coughs and, the big pieces of spit floating in the air are going to get pretty much caught on that. And so you take it home and you have to wash it regularly, or you get a supply of them and throw them all in the washer once a week. So that you wear a clean one every day. Those work reasonably well for what they do. They are, they're not medical grade by any means, but any barrier is better than no barrier.
Right.
What it comes down
what
to.
What about because people are starting to fly again. What kind of masks do you wear on a plane?
If I'm sitting quietly on an airplane, I'm going to use my N95 probably.
Yeah, me too.
Let's say you're going to get one of these homemade masks. What material do you suggest would be best for your skin?
Well, that depends, of course, on what you may be allergic to. For instance, the synthetics have the highest incidence of causing you to get rashes. Because they have pollens and resins in them. So you probably want to stay with cotton against the skin. But, the idea is the more layers, the more effective the homemade masks.
Yeah.
And the best homemade masks have three layers. Some have two. A few only have one. But the more layers you put on, the better filtration you get, but also the harder it is to breathe.
Right. So with your asthma, it's a difficult question to answer because you want the protection, yet that protection is restrictive for your breathing. So it comes back to the first statement you made, depends on how well you're controlled. So better controlled you are, the better safety protection you will get, especially if you're going to be in a crowd or in an environment with other people around. Now, if you want to support a team, you could always go out, get one with a team name on it. Or if you want a designer one, pay a lot of money. There are lots of companies making those as well.
LV can probably get you one for $20,000 if you really have more money than brain.
With that, we got to go. Thank you, Johnny. Very good news. I had suggested this earlier. I have Dr. Michael Gilbert coming right after the top of the hour break here in about 2 or 3 minutes. Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute. If you have a question about your eyes, anything about your eyesight, you need to call. And I've got a question for him because I received a text not long ago from a 53-year-old frustrated with his vision getting weaker every year, wanting me to ask Dr. Gilbert about that. You have questions? You call right now, 1-888-312-5757. Go ahead and call, 1-888-312-5757.